Well, again, I want to thank you for coming. And for those of you who were not here yesterday, I want to make the ever so brief introduction that my name is Peter Koch, and I'm a Berkeley denizen and one of the four members of the board of directors of the Codex Foundation. The other members of the board, which I think need a little thanking here, not too much, but you know, as much as we can possibly do. I meant not as well. We did it for us as well as for everybody else. Anyway, that was a false start. Let's start over again. let me name the members and of the board of directors, and I know that Susan Filter is sitting right here, and she's definitely. You know, clocked her 700 or 800 hours in the last 5 months working, and then in addition to that, we have Carol Lee Campbell, who's on there. She is Carol Lee Campbell from Southern California, and Roberto Trujillo from the University, Stanford University. Roberto is not in yet this morning, I gather, and then Mr. Duke Collier, who is not in yet this morning, or up. They all put in long days, and we finally, the good news is that the Codex Foundation has finally got word back from the United States government after 11 months of constant prodding that we are now indeed a 501c3 tax-free. Due almost entirely to our lawyer in training and paper conservator, Susan Filter, who conserves papers as well as fills them out. We had a wonderful a day yesterday, I hope. I certainly did. And we're just beginning day two. There's a brief announcement from the Fine Press Book Association, and for who will make it will be Crispin Elsted from the Barbarian Press in sunny Canada.
Irony will get you nowhere.
I'd like to say that we have an interest in reviewing books. I know that you all know this putatively, but nothing very much seems to happen about it all the time. To that end, if any of you has a book which you'd like us to consider for review, and not in the sense of jurying, but just trying to put together a group of reviews for every issue, if you could bring prospectuses, if you have them, to me at my table, Barbarian Press table, which is the table 39 over toward the windows, I'd be very grateful. Don't please give me books to take, because, as you know, customs officers are an aggregation of intellectually poor, blind, and covetous dullards, and I don't want to have to go past them with anything they might have to read. So just prospectuses, but if you're interested, I should be very glad to have them. Thank you very much.
Could we mail one?
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk at the bookstore.
What?
The bookstore.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to mention this again tomorrow, but very briefly, there's a selection of books by one of our speakers, Mr. Robert Bringhurst, for sale at the bookstore upstairs. The museum has its own bookstore, and his newest book, The Tree of Meaning, which I can only too highly recommend. In fact, I intend to fill up my shelves with multiple copies for gifts soon. Is just up at the top of the staircase, outside the theater and up on the next level, and I recommend that you go in there during the break time or just afterwards and have a look at that wonderful bookstore. Now, our speaker this morning comes to us from far Germany. I first met Stefan Soltek. In his own lair, there was a brilliant exhibition of the works of Barbara Fana, an artist who's well represented here. Her table is here. I believe her son Marcus is here, perhaps in the room. There was an exhibition of Barbara's work at the Klingspor Museum, and I was lucky enough to get in a car leaving the Frankfurt Book Fair at the last second, and I arrived in time for the full exposition, and it was indeed a marvelous exhibition, if ever there was one. And there was a small symposium. There were three or four speakers, and they went on at length, and it was very beautiful evening. And then we sat at a big long table at an Italian restaurant, I think, right across the street from Stefan's Museum, the Klingspor Museum in Offenbach am Main. And we had a great meal. And at that meal, I met a number of young German artists, and of whom. Probably 50% of that table is here today, because of course I used every opportunity, including Stefan's generosity, to invite everybody I met whose work I thought was thrilling, stunning, sensuous, beautiful, intellectual, and German. I have been mistaken for a German on occasion because of my last name. I've been mistaken for a German on occasion because of some certain traits that I show. I'm going to give you that trait. I was on my way to lunch one day at 12 noon exactly, and my guest, whom I had invited to join me for lunch, a German sculptor, showed up at 12:02, and I had forgotten him and had just left at 12 o'clock sharp, and my studio mate, Christopher Steinhauer, came to the door when he rang the bell and said, is Peter here? And Christopher said, well, no, he just left for lunch. And he looked at his watch, and he was a minute late, and he said, oh my God, I've been out Germaned. But anyway, this will not have anything to do with what our presentation this morning, because of course, those of us who are artists and we work in the book don't tend to keep such rigid timetables. We're more likely to think of our material as dictating the friendliness of our lives. And with that short introduction, I'd like to introduce Dr. Stefan Soltek.
I was never introduced in such a kind way, and Peter, I think you've done the whole of the speaking already in characterizing those beautiful, wonderful German artists, and you were kind enough to invite to come here, and I'm extremely thankful that I was part of the show, and it's really fantastic to be here. As far as I understand, it's Valentine's Day today. And I must have that a little different. And Karen, you said I should do something about the light. Oh, this one. Okay. And, Valentine's Day is a very good day to give this talk because it gives a good opportunity to say thank you and very much a great sympathy to be here. And but there's another aspect, because I think the heart is the best way to explain the title of my speech, which I called Recto Verso, or Verso Recto. And I think the double page is the number one phenomenon a good bookmaker, book artist has to think about. And the heart is a wonderful double page, as we know. And so that's good to be here on Valentine's Day with a speech called Recto Verso. And I must say I had a beautiful introduction into the work of Peter's yesterday, or the day before already. And there was one particular book, Watermark, I might mention, that's absolutely in my point of view, Recto Verso. I didn't expect that, and I was absolutely thrilled by it. You see, it's a book with a text of Brodsky about Venice and Italy, and you have wonderful typography in the book, of course. And but then you come to the picture pages, and you have Recto. Picture that shows you Venice, with the beautiful Laguna and Vaporetto passing by. And then you turn the page, and on the other end, Verso, you have the same thing again, but the Vaporetto is missing. And so that was so incredible, right thought to my understanding, that this goes right into my point of view. A bookmaker has to think about the consequences of the sequences of pages in a book. It sounds very simple, but to my understanding, it is a center meaning and a center problem of doing a right book. I read out a bit of my text, and again, say I'm Stefan Zoltek, and living in the field of contemporary book art for me started when I realized my first exhibition in the Museum of Applied Arts in Frankfurt on Main. The show was called Ausdruck, Expression, and presented around 50 works of Felix Martin Furtwängler, whose graphic expression and innovative processing the book makes him one of the most interesting artists in the rich field of German contemporary book art. I quote Furtwängler to underline my conviction that the profile of bookmaking by artists has gained an enormous variety in the last decades and gives the 20th century the privilege of having influenced the art of the book in an incomparable intensity. This is something that is very important for my own understanding of the book. I happen to be in Frankfurt. The Museum of Applied Arts has a wonderful collection of books ranging from the late medieval times to nowadays. And so I'm missing that in Offenbach these days, sometimes, because Offenbach Museum is sticking to the 20th century. My collection in Frankfurt happened to have about 6,000 items of books and graphics, as I said, from the 15th to the 21st century. Now I'm in Offenbach with a collection of the 20th century, but almost 70,000 items are there. So that's a strange difference, and makes and gives a good platform to experience the 20th century as a phenomenon of archaeology. And that's really good working in it, and some of you have done it, and I may recommend to come there and to learn about typography and graphic design and book art of the 20th century. It's my honor, privilege, and a great deal of feeling at home. It is a wonderful to come to you intending to lay out some aspects of modern book art. It is a very limited perspective based on the rather small Klingspor Museum, small in terms of building and square meters, to present art in the field of type, calligraphy, and book, and yet big as its collection covering the 20th century is famous to those who are in their way all through the arts of Buch und Schrift. They will understand when I dare to describe the museum as a book as itself, like Cézanne did with the Louvre when he said the Louvre was an open book to him. Looked at the tremendous variations of combining the letter, the sign and the image placed in the museum's library on the walls, it is not all too difficult to draw a line to the catacombs or the pyramids with their highly differentiated messages connected by letter-wise and picture-wise insignia. This is a view in our main rooms to present exhibitions, and you see an exhibition of Depal Edition, a very important edition in our country I'm talking about. It's a specific reason to try this somewhat mysterious link. It's motivated by the conviction not to make a strict difference between the scriptural arts on the one hand and the book on the other, not to see the type foundry Gebrüder Klingspor in connection with type and the bibliographical part of the collections as a complete different issue. In fact, there is a most significant mixture, which is obvious when you look at all the items of typography and the beauties of book art, but it also gets clear when you recognize that most delicate typefaces, which were produced by the type foundry, were documented in wonderful books, soft covers, soft covers mostly, rather booklets than books, and yet codices, composed in correspondence with the phenomenon of pages in subsequent. I brought three of those typefaces manuals from our collection. I was recommended to edit them, to do facsimiles of those. We never thought about that, which hints at the small amount of visitors we unfortunately have, but perhaps that would be a good idea to get more, to give those as books. And they are incredibly nice, and it's Peter Behrendt, Chris Holger, and Otto Ekman, and that's the ones I'm talking about. And then what only probably some of you know, the Kabel of Rudolf Koch. So you can have a look later. What we call... Is the microphone working well? Okay.
No, you should probably hold it.
I should... Is that better like this? Okay. What we call Schriftproben in German, typefaces, manuals, if I translate that correctly, in German, can be shown for hundreds of typefaces and beyond the most important ones for the development of the culture of typesetting are certainly those of the Ekman Schrift and the Behrendt Schrift. 1901 is the date of the creation of Otto Ekman's typeface, 1902 the one of Peter Behrendt's so-called Behrendt Schrift. You sometimes see the German Reichstag in Berlin, and the headline over the entrance is Dem Deutschen Volk. It's not the Behrendt Schrift, but almost the Behrendt Schrift, so it's quite popular still. Those represent highlights of rebinding the issue of type composing into the process of visual arts, and are explained and shown and laid out in the various possibilities to use the typeface. Those marvelous booklets can convince by the rhythm of close-ups all over panels, boards, to make clear the alphabetical impression of the typeface or the image it paints when set out in a text block. A piece of literature on advertisement. One of the most astounding pages is the one in the Ekman probe, you see it here, when at the end a white swan represents the creator of the type, whose feathers are robbed by the plagiators, shown as black ravens. And so that happened to be a problem even in those days, that typefaces were sort of robbed away or whatever. The most relevant person to indicate... Oh yes, this is another piece of the Peter Behrendt's. This, I should say this, the type manual of Peter Behrendt's is really worth to have a close look at. I wonder if it's in any kind reproduced in your country that you could find it, because it has a very, very good essay in the entrance to talk about the history of typefaces, especially in Germany, but in the whole of Europe, and that's really excellently written by Peter Behrendt. The most relevant person to indicate not only the further process of the type foundry, Gebrüder Klingspor, but especially the connects we are just trying to enlighten, is Rudolf Koch. There's no other creative person to combine the issues of writing, type composing, and book creation, and often underestimated, transferring those flat dimensions onto the scale of the room, particularly the liturgical room of the church. His fine sense and knowledge of the old tradition of the monasteries, their writing and their books, all aiming for a visual realization of the belief in transcendency, was a never-ending motor of his way to live writing. To live writing, and to live type founding and bookmaking. Dependent on his personal Christian conditions,
there arose a field of art which must be looked at also independently. I'm thankful to you, Kristen, that you were hinting me at the book of Sebastian Carter just the day before, and I thought to let you hear some correct English. I quote just the thing he's writing about Rudolf Koch, his conclusion, so to say. He says, Rudolf Koch was driven by a religious sense of purpose, and combining the talents of calligrapher and punch cutter, or theoretically, to have produced perfect types. That he did not do so is due partly to his calligraphy being too free and his punch cutting too rough, and partly to his belonging to a graphic tradition outside the European mainstream. Nonetheless, we can recognize his anachronistic, personal, and undeniably magnificent achievement, which should be kept in mind by type designers whenever they find their work becoming anemic. For that is something Koch's types never were. And I like these words of Sebastian Carter, because they describe what Peter did in a wonderful way some minutes ago when he was talking about these energetic persons in Germany doing their book art being somewhat German. And Rudolf Koch is a person who is really... We wouldn't like him too close to the nowadays book artist, but his sort of intention seems to be very important, because and Sebastian Carter does it in a very nice description, saying actually he isn't good. He's a calligrapher too free. He's a punch cutter too rough. But he's enormous quality in what he did, and I think this is so lifeful and so correct to come close to what artist books happen to be, that I definitely want to have Rudolf Koch in a way with us. Let me see what comes up here. Yeah, this is this wonderful psalterium he and his workshop would execute in 1922. Let me see. Yes, as I said, Koch plays a fundamental role, and it makes the Klingspor Museum, with its number one collection of his oeuvre, a suitable platform for any talking about book art of the 20th century. There are two details I want to hint at. In the typeface manual for the cable he did in 1925 can be found an advertisement which presents a fire extinguisher called Minimax. The astounding fact is how elements of the typesetting materials, lead, as we were talking about, are used to form the building and its windows, red or black, color symbolizing fire or no more fire. Here we have a rare hint from the Klingspor world to the capability when it comes to the need of innovative use of material besides its original function. Something very important for the methods of modern book art when playing with the material of typeset. That's the leichte Kabel. You can see it on the paper later. Second hint. Is one of the rarely published, whenever published, I don't know, published drawings of different kinds of crosses of Rudolf Koch's. We can see a most unusual crisscrossing of handwritten words to name all kinds of sins and misbehavior that can lead to the cross and to be healed through the cross. Here we are confronted with a, again seen from the Klingspor point of view, astonishing habit of provoking freedom to make written phrases living by the form and atmosphere of their individual expression. I would really be interested if any one of you would be able to say that comes from this or that period that he would be influenced to do something like that. To my understanding, it's an incredible freedom, as Carter says. It's too free, of course, to be a classical or traditional calligraphy, but it's a wonderful expression, wonderful way of setting himself free, driven by this religious intention he had. Most persons of you probably know Rudolf Koch as someone who was a very gifted form inventor, so to say. But we must think of him as a very curious person, extremely under pressure. And I mean, can you think of writing all these terms of cynical behavior to do a cross like this? I think that's a pretty modern style of expression. As if those two aspects were brought together, we come across another world of type composition, but interesting enough, from very much the same period of the 20s. The Dadaism, here shown in the famous book Die Scheuche, a fairy tale written by Käthe Steinitz, the friend of Kurt Schwitters. Type letters are eventually humanized to figures, to figure the story step by step, movement by movement. It is the very moment when the letter and its word and sentence-wise sequence break out of their meanings to reach out for another one, the visual sign. Many of you would have seen this picture and know the book, and to my understanding it's really incredible. That's almost the same year when we saw these Rudolf Koch works. So I'm trying to make a point of a certain tradition of German expression in typewriting, handwriting and typesetting that is still alive in the modern way of thinking about typography as a method of expression. Having remembered the Dadaism and constructivism means to break up the normal line-by-line typography leads the way to what we call book art of the 80s. This headline belongs to artists in Germany who are today aged around 45 to 60, began their career between 1980 and 85, and up to the present are the dominant parts of the field of book art in our country. Johannes Stogalla and Françoise Depal got to know each other in Paris. Now, I know that's not easy for you because I'm dealing with names most of you wouldn't know. But I have forgotten to write them down, and I found that great by Sarah yesterday, how she would have given inscriptions on her slides. Sorry, I haven't had the good idea. So please try to follow the names, and there are quite a lot of people here who would be of good help.
I know these people.
So it's Johannes Stogalla and Françoise Depal I'm talking about. They got to know each other in Paris. Stogalla would have studied at the École Supérieure des Beaux-Arts, focused on graphics, French, and art history. I'm pointing that out because I want to make a point that in Germany we don't have a traditional teaching of book art. There's one place, Sabine Golde, thank you, who reminded me of Halle, which is called Diebichenstein, the only place where up to today book art is in fact a field of research topic. And this means, on the other hand, that the interesting persons, artists, all come with a quite different background to what they do. And that's why I'm telling about this a bit, so you can get an idea of what do they bring with themselves to get into the field of book art. Stogalla would have studied at the École Supérieure des Beaux-Arts, focused on graphics, French, and art history. Concentrating on the graphic technique of woodcutting, on the one hand, he succeeded in training himself in typesetting. That was supported by the fact that he could get hands on the setting materials of one of the great newspapers in Frankfurt online when they would change their printing techniques. Strugala is one of many other artists in the field of the book who didn't study book art, in fact a more or less non-existing field of study, but had to find their own way as an autodidact into it. One of De Palle, the Edition De Palle characteristic books deals with texts of the French, rather existentialistic than surrealistic author Antonin Artaud. Actually a theater writer, his almost fantastic, acrobatic and pathetic word constructions refer to the phenomenon of glossolalia. Thank you. vocal emanations, as they are reported in the Holy Bible in the Whitsun day, when people speak with their tongues a semi-language, so that people from different areas can yet understand each other. Those substitutes of a word-wise language, not only Artaud was working on, Johannes Strugala, for his work, would transform into fragmentary structures of letters, arrangements to make the vibrating sounds and multiple mixtures of meaning and non-meaning phrases visible. In addition, a very powerful effect in De Palle books arises as all the texts are translated either from or into French, so they can cover the German and French market and, which is more important to the books themselves, can provide with a double intensity of typographical staging. Yeah, this is the sort of front page of the book. Meid zum Bräun is a very strange title. It doesn't mean anything, or can mean everything. It means the phenomenon of trying to and using this the form of speech. Of course, in here we have the word "minds" in a way, and "going," and so it's a sort of a little effect on the side, as the Edition de Palle is housed in Mainz and Paris. Meid zum Bräun, which is the title of the Artaud book, contains lithographical pieces of the important printer and bookmaker Robert Schwarz. His sujets range from very elementary geometrical forms like grids and color fields to complex figural compositions. In Meid zum Bräun, the pictorial pieces are of the first kind and figure out the simple ground forms with highly delicate coloring. Contrasting the vivid type figuration, these pictures, so to say, take sign by sign the function of the letters, whereas the lettering appears picturesque. A somewhat anti-illustrative method builds a platform of authentic correspondence with the world of words of Artaud. This is another book by Robert Schwarz. I don't go on with this. Not all of the De Palle books arose in combination with another artist. Strugala himself, able to do drawing and woodcut and typography, more and more concentrated on books purely by his own artwork, although one has to point out the role of François De Palle, has developed in elaborating the layout on the computer. Quark Express has become a vital processor in neighborhood to drawing and has substituted the work in the traditional technique of original graphics. Especially his own lyrical texts, as for the books Sinabre, which you see here, have been composed on computer and executed by a printer. The style of his drawings developed in correspondence with woodcutting, sorts out delicate systems of net-like structures which adopt the graphical language of modern technology. The book Farmer, which you see here, with the poem of Ovid's Ars Amatoria, includes another subject. Female bodies appear, depicted as black ink drawings on vellum paper. They transform models and pin-ups shown in up-to-date magazines. The idea of the antique author in a way producing a making-of concerning the corporal and spiritual love relates in the book of Strugala with his elementary contours of female bodies. As the process of drawing changes from quick to very slowly, the ink leaves, so to say, the line, spreading out to form spots. This is why the bodies lose the clean character of real abbreviations and fill in an atmosphere of vulnerability and vanitas. On the other hand, this kind of body language of contemporary media and style meet with the bright scale-like text composition also with emblematic gold-painted sheets and thus bring up an appeal of intense freshness. A couple of years younger, Peter Milutsky follows a similar motivation like Johannes Strugala to work the book. His way into it, beginning in the early 80s or late 70s, differs in as much as his studies at the school in Mainz on Rhine provided him with a more specific training in typography taught by the well-known Hans-Peter Wilberg. Besides, Milutsky was in contact with another very famous artist, Wilhelm Neufeld, a reasonable founder of new criteria to combine typefaces and woodcuts in a way that they are quite equal in their meaning and appearance, would make the lane into the modern artist book. Malutsky, together with Manfred Prochotta and Heidi Hübner-Prochotta, invented their Flugblattpresse and established a high level of rich atmosphere in their poster-like prints of poems and lyrical text. Peter Malutsky developed his own style of book art, most delicate in the use of fine typesetting. He's working together with Ines van Ketelhout for 10 years. The both of them are exclusively engaged with a project called the Second Encyclopedia from Tlön. Ines van Ketelhout was a student at the well-known Hochschule für Gestaltung in Offenbach am Main, approximately 500 yards away from the Klingspor Museum. In her studies for graphic arts, including illustration and typography, she was a friend and colleague with five other women who would found the group Unikati. Different in their single attitude concerning methods and techniques to express themselves, they all showed a high sensibility for the codex format, trained altogether by the bookbinder Theophile Zwang. And what they also had and have in common is a relationship with both traditional graphical techniques as well as modern ones run by the computer. That's what gave their books from the beginning, soon after 1985, an atmosphere in a remarkable distance to the world of typical letterpress and woodcut as dominating the 70s and early 80s. Ines van Ketelhout would soon bring in the photography, which she innovatively combined with graphic elements. A typical book is the one dealing with the kiss and therefore taking screenshots from TV-presented Hollywood films. Using lipstick to print the photographs purely in red gives the book a symbolical and haptical meaning of quite unusual kind. Isn't that a Valentine's Day picture? The project Second Encyclopedia from Plön started in collaboration with Barbara Fahner. Peter was mentioning Barbara Fahner as one of the other great artists. I didn't bring her in here this much because, I should shortly explain that. As far as I understood, Peter's intention to do this here was to talk about the printed book. And Baba Afana is a very, very highly qualified book handwriter, and she does prints, yes, but the one piece, one kind of piece book is definitely her big thing to do. And this I say in correspondence with the simply not possible situation of overlooking all the German things that I could have spoken about. So I just picked out some pieces, and especially looking after the phenomenon of prints, original graphics, and computer graphics as well. I do that again. The project, Second Encyclopedia from Klönen, started, initiated, and in collaboration with Barbara Fahner, highly important for her impact on the field of the artist book, and especially focused on the handwritten and painted book, a chapter of the art of the book that would need a research on its own. The named artists decided to take different ways to work on the same project, the encyclopedia, and so now we have two independent, highly remarkable projects on the same issue, both centerpieces of nowadays German book art. Here you can see Barbara Fahner's work. When Barbara Fahner, her son Marcus, and his wife Fitnet realized a collection of five document files, ring binders, to collect very different pieces of text, picture collages and others, the whole thing produced in an edition of 40. Malutsky and Ketelhod, hang on, I just show you some of the pages from the Barbara Fahner collection, which is really remarkable. Yes, I should give myself the time just to tell you about this. Can you think of a situation in our museum about 15 years ago? I had the man from, how do you say that, who do the funding of the museum and would have to give the money to buy things. And I introduced two projects which just had started, and I said, we do have to have both of these projects in our museum, and we have to give money for that. And I never forget the one man, old distinguished man, gentleman, who would say, ring binders in the collection of the Museum of Applied Arts. Are you mad, man? And, so I was quite happy. I don't know if Ines and Peter would know that. I was quite happy on the other hand to say, yes, but see, on the other hand, we have very precisely bound books, and this is the other thing I want to have for the same project. Well, anyway, it was a really terrible thing to get the both of the projects into the museum, but now I'm very, very proud that in both of the museums, in Frankfurt and in Offenbach, we do have both of the series on this remarkable project. Yes. The basis for the strange-sounding title is a short story of the Argentinian author and librarian Jorge Luis Borges, A Peculiar Vision of a Utopian Place of Living, a complicated, somewhat labyrinthic way through different editions of encyclopedias leads the author into contact with the surface of the land, its people and its habits, the land Tlön. In the story, an encyclopedia focused on that country is mentioned, and it is said that a second encyclopedia, had to be discovered 100 years later. Now, only 60 years have passed by. We have two versions of that second encyclopedia of Tlön, as I pointed out. The books of Peter Malutsky and Ines von Ketelhod are highly elaborated in terms of plots and realizing them in photographs and graphics and text passages from quite different periods and authors. The astonishing thing is the basic character of the books, which takes them far away from the attitude of classical livre d'artiste. The format is small, the papers are not written papers, handmade papers, but rather normal everyday paper, Yes, in a way, it is an everyday climax that gives the books rather a neighborhood to an edited conversational lexicon than to the field of the fine art printing. It occurs that the books ask for a double user, the reader in informing scientific text, and on the same moment a spectator used to all the specifics needed for the reception of a piece of modern art. Within the 50 volumes with 50 keywords, you find the titles Ukbar, Tlön, Orbis Tertius. The last one is due to the name of the secret organization Borges settles in the early 17th century. It's a period of highly developed knowledge of territories all over the world, a period of sciences, especially natural science. Collecting new details and specific perspectives to earth and heaven, items which were of great importance at that time. And it is important to understand the ground ideas of Borges and his mirroring the world in a fantastic arrangement. Malutsky's book provides with a sequence of satellite photographs of London and New York, places of importance for the Borges plot. Portrait collages facing combinations of different personalities from all periods to indicate the Orbis Tertius, and pieces of a peculiar set of knives and forks symbolizing the strangeness of operating and doing life in Tlön. Tlön itself is Ines von Ketelhout's book. Close-up photographs from different places in either landscape or civilized areas are laid beneath the text passages describing the places of Tlön. Printed on transparency foil, the text sinks into the faint backgrounds, which hardly can be identified, which clearly matches the idea of a utopian ground. Ukbar, the land's name as found in the one specific volume of an American encyclopedia, as Borges reports, he explains, Ukbar, before leaving, he told me that it was a region of Iraq or Asia Minor. The unknown word, a fiction, to entitle an unknown country, better world means a special task to the book artist. So here the artist used pages from all other 49 books of the encyclopedia and combined them in her book, Ukbar, printing them one over the other, and so aim to effect beautiful fictional impressions. Borges' second encyclopedia of Tlön, worked out in two projects, turns out to be a tremendous gift for book art today, laying out a territory of delicious outlooks to scratch the all too accepted way of life. Both the projects arise critical questions concerning the actual civilization, wrapping them in intriguing fairy tales to look at and to read. In his essay, A Book, Dick Higgins has sorted out what it can mean to correspond with a book. What he seems to be up to is to underline the miracle a book contains when its user is able to open him to the certain spirit and the means that turn the pages and do discover far more than the continuity of information side by side. Such an user of the book, someone who is willed and trained to combine the analytic decoding and the attaching inventing when driven to paper, filled with whatever elements between letters, signs, and other forms, Higgins points out the necessity to accept rules when corresponding with a book, ranging as a piece of art. One needs no particular ego to experience art, but one does bring a certain horizon to the experience of a book, which is its own past and complex of tastes and non-tastes, desires and non-desires, beings and non-beings. Perhaps you find his explanation somewhat dubious and euphemistic, but it is true that books in the area of visual arts can particularly enlighten the ambivalence of flat page, double page, and recto verso, forward and backwards, pointing and stretching formation, naming information, causing disinformation. The book is full or empty of statements and movements, and these general conditions can be exercised not to mystify, but to explain them. I feel myself getting a bit long. I have here a beautiful other work from Anton Bührt. He is someone who does books mostly or nearly without words, but in a beautiful way of engraving strange phenomenons which go back to traditional forms of typesetting and layouts of books. Like, for instance, he has a book which is dealing with the characteristic forms of law publications in the 16th century. His books are very, very delicate, highly professional in the technique of especially engraving, and what is important about his books, they are very much discussing the aura of the old graphical techniques. He's sort of stylizing stylizing the technique and doing extremely strong contrasts with color pages in front and behind those content pages. It's a beautiful work which is discussing the codex in a very specific form. So whenever you have chances to see Anton Bührt books, that really gives you new impressions to the idea of bookmaking. We were once asked to do a combination work for a magazine on literature, and he gave in those pages you see here, and they came just in the middle of the normal text of the essays about Scandinavian literature, and it was really great that the editor was prepared to do these pages as sort of interruption and asking about what can literature mean and how can language be transferred to another medium. Here I show the beautiful book Triumph of a Pan Sailor by Veronica Schaepers. It's only to say that there are very, very many different aspects in German bookmaking at the moment to do forms besides the classical way of giving the codex. Then the other artist group I wanted to show was Users, that's Uta Schneider and Ulrike Stolz, two female artists from the former Unikartie living in Offenbach, and we are going to do an exhibition on their very strange way of bookmaking, combining all forms of typography, photography, and so on. And they are especially very good in arranging type installations, which is a sort of way to enlarge the book into the room. Now, so far we have concentrated, let me see if I get the right thing. The books we have looked at so far have shown not only different themes and attitudes, but have underlined that the ideal of beauty in delicately crafted codices has lost its former dominance to judge on the value of a piece of bookcraft. The factor art has changed these paradigms a lot, and craft can only convince as far as it fulfills the specific task of a art conception. To make clear the point, you may look at a comparison. The book just produced by the Maximilian Society contains text by the German poet and writer Günther Kunert, that's on the left, which in rather essayistic way offers critical comments on the actual civilization and its limitation in reading and writing, especially amongst young people. Here you can see the book. Linocuts of the well-known painter Johannes Grützke give portrait impressions of the author. The whole book provides with a decent typography of fine art press style, and the ornamental cover fits in the character of what you would call a solid good book. The other piece I compare is a small brochure giving an interview with the famous showman Evel Knievel, and in a way it deals with similar questions of what may be a reasonable way to take position in actual society. But here we meet with a highly unpretentious booklet laid out in a vivid and dynamic typography and photographic pictures which are playing around the text to catch the climax of individually that points out places and ways of living. Although there are differences in the contents, they have in common to flash over standards of modern styles of living, and it is not difficult to find out that the brochure of the very innovative editor Revolver is by far more convincing when it comes to the question of what content belongs to what kind of a book. The old argue between the so-called artist's book, simple, cheap, in high edition to transport aspects of art, and book art of artists, Künstlerbücher, understanding themselves as authentic pieces of art occurs. Perhaps in some cases the borderlines get somewhat foggy. Fact is, there are still highly intense and fruitful results of artwork on book. The new media have been integrated and are part of their realization. The old world of the book in terms of art energetically has been pushed forward to breathe the air of today. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have written down. And that was the last picture. It brings me back to the very first one of Felix Furtwängler, one of his books, and it says, reminds on the bookmark the reader that the world will pass by and coincidence will turn off, but the essentials will be there. And this is, I think, a very good hint on an art book. And so this was my try to tell you my point of view of why I am working on artist books. Thank you very much.
We have a few minutes for questions.
Sorry, I did bother you with so much strange materials, strange in a way of you just don't know the artists and you don't know the books, but I hope you find yourself invited to get to know them. And I want to say there are, as Peter turned out, there are very many German artists in the show here and in the conference, and I could do the same talk with a couple of other artists and it would be new aspects to it. I wanted to try to do it a bit different compared to what Sarah did. She was far more accurate in overlooking the whole scenery in the UK, and I tried to work out some aspects of rather a few books and artists. I hope you can forgive me that you must wait for another speech and talk and book to get more of the other German artists.
Well, I'd like to make a comment to you all that a visit to the Frankfurt Book Fair is a very rewarding experience. There's a neighborhood in the book fair that is devoted to the arts of the book and the fine arts of the book and the artist book, and where, for instance, the almost everybody he mentioned, in fact, everybody he mentioned, I met in a matter of a few hours and managed to, at the Frankfurt Book Fair, if you go early and stay late, you can probably clock about 75 or so hours in a week. time in one of the most amazing ghettos of the book you'll ever see. In the Frankfurt Book Fair, I would see Strugala, I would see Ines Lanketbolt, all the people he mentioned, and more. They're here. Till Burkhoff, Clemens Tobias Lange. Anyway, then of course there are more other things happening over in his museum. Just a short way away, there was a Van Keen to the Frankfurt Book Fair. So, in a way, we're trying to do that here now. We're having a mini camp Frankfurt Book Fair of the arts sector, which is spread out around town.
Yes. May I add one thing, Peter? I asked you why you would have invited me to come here, and you were very kind to point out that there would be quite good relationship for my person with quite a lot of the artists. And I want to thank all the artists being here and many others who are not here, who have taken me into the field of book art, because I want to underline, it's not only the artists who cannot study book art, it's the art historians who cannot study book art. And that's a very important problem we have. Our whole field of art history covers the traditional things of paintings and sculpture and architecture, and only when you stick to the medieval times, a book, so to say, is the self-understanding part of the whole theme. I did medieval times. I wrote my thesis on the baptism of font of the 12th century, so that's slightly different from what I'm talking about now, but it was such a help and so necessary to meet these artists who have wonderful contacts with each other to find into the scenery and to get to know what they do. And I must say, yesterday I visited the table of Harry Rees, Turkey Press, for quite a long time, and it was such a precise and intensive way of interpreting his books and explaining what he's doing that I could easily understand why art historians are not the right people to deal with your stuff. So this turns out a really prominent problem, and I don't know how we are going to do this. I see the same problem on the artist's side, that I don't see a lot of young people coming up in the field. That is, of course, because if they go into the book, they go into the published book, and rather not starting a career as a book artist. And the art historians have not found to the subject, and the subject could be a way before the art historians are going to recognize that.
Stefan, has there been any discernible change in the style, the approach to book arts in Germany since reunification? Was there an influence from East German artists to change things? I wasn't sure of the dates of these, so I don't know when some of these were done.
I wonder if I'm the right person to answer your question, because I have a great feeling for many of the artists in East Berlin and in the other parts, and Leipzig and Halle. When I started to come into the business, that was in mid of the 80s, and my predecessor in the museum, he's the most important collector of pieces of art of Eastern artists. So the Klingspiel Museum has a wide range of material of this. I happened to get to know all these artists and their work rather a couple of years later. Of course, there's a complete other tradition in their way of doing book art, but I would ask to Sabine Golde to talk about that rather than myself. I think there's quite another tradition to do the mail art business, the magazines, the factor of literature is, to my understanding, different compared with the Western things. Nowadays, I don't know if it makes any sense further on to distinguish the things. It of course comes much together. I remember the wonderful sentence of Uwe Warnke, who is one of the best editors and book art promoters in East Berlin. He was a co-author in a production we did in 1990 something like that. And he would say that there would be one aspect which would bring together the Eastern German book situation and the Austrian one, that the market would be in West Germany. And I found that very, very delicate description. Sorry, I don't want to go into more details. It would be too complicated for me at the moment, but as I said, there are people here who can talk about that.
Well, we have a few minutes left. We had a
show at San Francisco that told you about a month ago about Anselm Kiefer.
Ah.
So it had elements of it, albeit very weak. Do you have a sense of how the world in your art like that relates to some of the book artists? I just think you would make a comment. And maybe could you fill in a little more of your earlier remark about the notion of sequence, when you said that there would have to be a sense of consequence to the artist?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me try it this way. Anselm Kiefer, to my understanding, is a person who's deeper in the phenomenon of book than many of other famous painters and sculptors. If they occur in the book, mostly you can see that they are not in the business of book, but that the book is a sort of decoration possibility to show some of their graphical or painted work. It's rather what we call in German a Kunstbuch, but a book being an art piece itself. Anselm Kiefer has done some books which belong to the scenery of book art, and 100, thank you very much. And that certainly would need another speech, another lecture. Now I try to be with people who make their art living really in the book, and painting and sculpturing is sort of by side. Whereas Anselm Kiefer is a person who, even if he has done 100 books, I think his main profession is installation, painting, of course, and book is by the side. But that's a big area again. The question of sequences and the consequence of sequences is exactly that. What the book artist is someone who is reflecting the codex as a phenomenon of space and time, whereas someone many other painters and sculptors who bring in their work into books, they just see one side, another side, another side, and do not have the same acting of the relationship of the beginning and the ending and the main part of the codex. That's quite different attitude to do the book.
Okay, we should take a 15-minute break. Thank you again, Stefan. Mm-hmm.
That was a great technical. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. No, it's
great.
Okay.
Yeah.